Lord, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Father. We love you. And Lord, we thank you for teaching us how to walk this holy life. I know we stumble here and we stumble there, and Lord, we're stumbling forward. That's the good thing. And Father, we thank you for being in our lives, giving us the overcoming power to overcome these things that have offset us in our walk, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that your faith in us, we can do anything. We can walk and talk this walk that you've got us on, just like Jesus did, because that's what your word says. We admit it, we confess it, and we walk it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us, comforts us, keeps us going in the right direction, empowers us, and blesses us. And Father, we thank you that tonight's not going to be any exception, that we're going to be blessed by the revelations that you've given us, Lord, and by the things that you want us to talk about, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests?
I do, Michael.
Okay, Anna, go ahead, girl.
I was hoping for Matthew. He running around playing with Isaiah, and he tripped on something or slipped on the grass or something, and he split his palm open a little bit, split his elbow open, and his knee a little bit. He's been limping all day at work. So bad, it's like he bruised it inside or something. He said it feels like it's swollen underneath the kneecap. I don't know, but and then also, of course, his palm split open a little bit. Right hand works all day.
I know you're cutting out, but it's something about Matt falling down and hurting himself. Is it there at the house or was it at work?
No, it was. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
He was playing with Isaiah yesterday afternoon.
I didn't get any of that.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, anyways, he just needs prayer. He put his palm open. Hurting.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Matt to you. We thank you, Lord, that he's not under the curse, and we have the authority, and we command that hand and all the wounds to heal and all the bruises to be healed and all the pain to stop right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that Matt is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the pain is gone from. Is he working tonight, Anna?
He worked today and he worked tomorrow.
Okay. All right. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, Wade.
Yes. I was just asking for myself. I'm sure it's for my wife also. We're having a little trouble changing from one translation to another. I used to be almost strictly King James, but now, I mean, I'm finding verses that I look for in the Bible. I can't find them because they're not written the same in a different translation. And my knowledge of the scriptures is wounded. And I pray God would straighten those things out, that I would know the scriptures better and the translations better.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that confusion to go In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that when he sees it, he's going to recognize it from now on. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for helping him out. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And for verses that I don't know where they are, that's another hard one.
Okay. What version are you going to from King James?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of using the ESORT, and I go around a little bit on a few of them. But the main ones I'm with is King James and American Standard Version. And I was looking for a verse that seemed that read a little bit like a verse I knew. But when I looked it up, I thought I was having that trouble that they talked about with the South African guy and how he had seemed to have died and he never died. They had a name for it. Anyways, I kept thinking the verse was gone because I looked through so many verse translations. When I finally looked into ASV, that's where it was. I found the verse where I thought it was. But before that, I checked other versions, and it didn't seem to be the same verse. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. I was getting it mixed up and not able to translate it to people. People were looking forward to hearing about it. But I found it. It's that verse I just named. First Timothy 4:10.
Well, it was different in the ASV than it was in King James.
I don't remember exactly where I was having my trouble, but I found myself when I went to the ASV.
Oh, that's good.
Finally found a verse when I went to the ASV. I appreciate God's grace in this matter, because it scares me when I don't have control of this, my tongue knowing the scriptures. I want to know the scriptures. Yeah,
look up at the top at your ESORT. It's got a compare. Once you get on the one you want, you can see the differences in the translation, in the different Bibles. If you've got them downloaded, I've got the ASV, ESV, and King James, and another one.
If I had checked the ASV sooner, I would have had no trouble. I was mistaken, especially. Especially was in my mind, I kept thinking especially. And I could never find it that way. I should have said special. It was special. Is what the King James has. I mean, the ASV has for the word that I thought was especially. It was special.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. All right. Anyone else? Hi, Andrew. Hey, Tracy. Good to have you with us.
God bless you.
You too. All right, anyone else got a prayer request or a testimony or praise report? Yeah, go ahead, George. I can see your hand. I can't see your head.
You're better off. I've been hanging out a little bit with an older group of Pentecostal people who might be stuck in one ditch. Hanging out a little bit with a group of Anabaptist Mennonite types that kind of broke out of the hard line, but they still are really into a lot. It seems they might be into dispensationalism and a lot of the same type stuff. But I have a chance to communicate with both groups, and I think especially I was kind of limiting my communication with them. I think I'm going to take the opportunity to sow a seed, especially in that Mennonite group, that they seem to be pretty happy about the things that they do obey in the Word, and that makes them different and obedient to Scripture. But I'm gonna let them know that being filled with the Spirit is a command of the Lord also. And I'm going to go through, try to open my Bibles with them and just find out if there's anything else the Lord wants me to put before them, that these are the reasons I can only go so far with these guys, and this is something that they need to seek out and on their own. I'm not going to tell them there's one way to receive whatever there's, but they need to seek this out. This is important. It's a command of the Lord, and it's very needed and necessary and powerful. And otherwise, you know, I guess, you know, there's other things that I can share with some of these other fellows eventually, but right now I have a foot in the door, so I am asking for prayer with that.
We can't hear you.
Oh, y'all just missed it, man. It was one of my most powerful prayers for George. Praise God. But anyway, what I was praying, George, is that he gives you wisdom and he gives you discernment as to how much you can put given. We have ministered, Dave and I both have ministered with the Anabaptist here. That way we call them the Plains people. It's a offshoot of the Amish. And you're right, you can only go so far with it. And Lord, we just ask that you give him the words to say that would affect the lives of these Mennonite people. Lord, find someone, put hunger in the hearts of these people to understand more about the Scriptures. And Father, we thank you that you're going to use George to open up a whole new revelation to him and to the Word of God. Even their ancestors, the Anabaptists, were tongue talkers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, Father. Their ancestors were healers. They had deliverance ministries. They had all of that going for them. And just like the mainline denominational churches, Lord, they just got away from it because it scared them, some of them. And Father, I thank you for giving him wisdom and discernment as to what to say and how to approach them with this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is a powerful YouTube thing that this lady has found out that she is in the Anabaptist, and I can't think of the name of it, but she talks about the history, and she found some history about healings and deliverances and the baptism in the Holy Spirit of these people and how that they were doing the first century works, you know. It's like the first century church at one time. And then they let the world get in and take it away from them. It's like most of these out that we have now. So I believe you're going to have some success there, George. I do. All right, anyone else? I'd like to pray and have y'all agree with me. I'm going to Arkansas tomorrow and minister to my grandson, Blake. That's the other twin. They have a birthday coming up Thursday, and I've asked him to be with me. And I'm going to minister to him and my other grandson, and we're going to be all together and hopefully we can make a day of it. Just kind of hang out and be a grandpa too. So, Father, I just ask and I pray that you open up Blake's eyes to you, Lord, and let him see the light the way it's supposed to be seen and not through the eyes of the world. And, Father, I thank you for preparing his heart to receive the things of God. And, Lord, I thank you that it's going to be a fruitful visit for Thursday. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Now, Missy, how'd you do that? I got two pictures in there of you. One's enough, girl. Come on now. Give us a break.
My Wi-Fi is going wacky, so I went on my data on my phone, and I kept trying my tablet to see if I could get it back. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that horrifying seeing two of me, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it was okay.
For you what you were
didn't have, we didn't have but just a second of it. We got relief right away. Oh my. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for fixing all of our Wi-Fis and communication statuses wherever we are, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let them be clear and open, and we can see everybody, and they can see us, and we can hear, and they can hear, and everything's going to be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Man, we having some weather like y'all wouldn't believe. It's been in the low 80s with hardly any humidity. It's been awesome. I'm fixing to go to Arkansas. It's going to be way up in the 90s. Heat index probably 130. I'm already cursing myself. I quit that. Okay. Anybody else? What y'all want to talk about tonight? Anybody got a subject? Anybody got a question that we can answer? I had a friend of mine, you know, I may have told you this before, I probably did, but I'm going to tell it again. Curry Blake, he when he was coming to the Lord, he would hunger for the Lord. And he saw Lester Summerall down in Dallas, and he told Mr. Summerall, he said, "Mr. Summerall, I'd like to come and ask you a couple of questions." He told him, he said, "Well, be in my office 8 o'clock Monday morning." And his office is in South Bend, Indiana, and this was on a Saturday night. So Curry, being the guy that he is, he just loaded his family up, put them in a van, and off to South Bend they went. And when he got up there, 8 o'clock that next that Monday morning, he went in the office, and there was a lady there, and he said, "I'm here to see Mr. Summerall." And she said, "Well, just go right on in there. He's in there." So he walked in there, and Summerall was in there writing a letter or doing something. He was writing something down. And the question that Curry had asked him, he said, "I want to know what the will of God is for my life and what my ministry is going to be." And that's when Summerall told him, he said, "Just be in my office 8 o'clock Monday morning, I'll tell you." So he figured Summerall was going to go back, and he's going to pray hard, and he's going to seek God and all this stuff. And Summerall kept on writing, and he kept on writing. Curry getting kind of nervous, you know. And then finally, Mr. Summerall lays his pen down. He said, "To know what the will of God is for your life, read the Bible." And he said, "To know what your ministry is going to be, do the Bible." And picked his pen back up and went to writing. Curry said, "I drove 1,000 miles up here to listen to this old man tell me that. That's it? That's all?" You know? And he said, "Yes, sir," because he's kind of scared of him, you know. He said, "Yes, sir." And he walked back out, and he got to thinking about it. He got to thinking about what Summerall had told him. And he said, "You know, that old man was right." He said, all I got to do is read the book and do what the book says, and I'll have everything in line. I thought that was so cool. And that was wisdom in a couple of short sentences. And, you know, after that, he stayed there with Summerall for a long time and got to be good friends with him and prayed with him in the mornings and did a lot of work for him while he was there. So, anyway, I thought that was one of his funny sides of Curry. All right, anybody else? So just remember that when some young Christian asks you to seek God, you know, for him, as to what his ministry is and all that stuff, you just remember those two answers that he gave. That'll work. All right, anybody got something they want to talk about tonight? Okay, Tracy. I started to say it's going to be a long night. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, well, you know, I got some testimonies what the Lord's been doing. He's amazing.
Awesome.
Just today, a woman contacted me for prayer for this young boy that was in the hospital. He had a rare flesh-eating disease on his leg. And they've tried four different antibiotics, and nothing seemed to touch it. So, of course, you know, next step is to amputate the leg. So he was scheduled for tomorrow morning to amputate the leg. So, you know, I passed the prayer on to the team. We got a little Skype group of about 14 of us, you know, prayer warriors, people that like to pray. And everybody prayed, and I was just talking to the Lord, you know, I'm working and I work by myself mainly out here. And I just said, Lord, please don't let that young boy lose his leg, you know. And I was just praying, Lord, please intervene, you know, just talking to him about it. And not more than about a half an hour later, I get a text, you know, from this girl going, you're not going to believe it. I'm thinking, oh, yes, I am. And sure enough, she said he's out of the woods. It's cleared up. No amputation in the morning. So.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, it gets
Thank
better.
You,
Check this out. Check this out. The dad was not a believer. So, ooh, I was like, double. That's a double whammy right there. Isn't God cool?
That's cool. Does dad believe now?
What was it?
Does dad have some belief now?
I think dad's pretty shaken up. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, you know how the Lord does, though. He lets it ride out and ride out. You know, they've tried everything. You know, when I hear, oh, can you pray, they've tried everything, I thought, all right, you know.
Yeah.
So God's going to move, and they can't deny it. So I think that was awesome. Praise be the Lord.
Yep, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, also a group of believers have a deliverance hall down in another country, and they prayed for a woman that had skin cancer on her last, you know, what they consider last hours, last days. And they prayed for her, and she went back to the doctor, and there's no trace of the skin cancer. Right? Praise God.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Lord.
I'll stop. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Oh, that's,
thank
that's you good. No, you can keep on going with stories like that. That's a good
one. Oh, man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Yeah, you know.
That's awesome.
I'll put in one more. My grandma's 93. She called me because there's a dead tree in her yard. And I said, well, why don't we just pray it back to life, you know? So we prayed, and same thing. My aunt's really not, you know, a believer, and she watched it come back to life. The next day, she's like, yeah. She's like, you're not going to believe this. And, I'm, you know, they always say that. I'm like, oh, yes, I do. It started growing green again. It's been dead for years. I mean, it was to the point they were afraid it was going to fall over. The neighbors were crying about it, you know. So, isn't that awesome?
That's praise awesome. God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just like Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, you can do the opposite. You can bring it back to life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Tracy. Anybody else? All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight. I'll be honest with you. Judy, I didn't have anything prepared for tonight. I'll just be honest with you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Judy.
Don't be sorry, Michael.
I quit being sorry.
I have a question on a scripture that I've been kind of pondering over in it. In different translations I read, it still doesn't give me a lot of clarity. So I'm going to throw it out there. It's 1 Corinthians 15 and 29. And the scripture is, else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why then are they baptized for them? And I'm just reading all the scriptures with it about, you know, the death and baptism and all that, but I'm like, I don't know what Paul's trying to say there. I need some help.
That's my question too.
Oh, good. I'm not alone. Good.
Let us see what it says.
I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on that. Why are they baptized for anybody, and who are they? You know, why are they baptized for the dead? I don't understand what Jewish. Well, I don't think it's a. I don't know if it's a Jewish thing.
Can you guys repeat for that? One more time.
First Corinthians 15 and 29.
Thank you.
Well, is he not doing that tongue in cheek? Because he's been talking about up here at the top, he's been talking about the resurrection and how that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. And he's talking about, let's start in 12. Let's just start up there in 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he hath been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then is our preaching vain? Your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have only hope in Christ in this life, then we are of all men most pitiable. But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, he was the first one that was resurrected, right? Then they that are Christ at his coming, that's us. And it goes on, then comes the end, that's the end, after the resurrection of the saints, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted, who did subject all things unto him. And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Now here comes the deal. Else, he said, or else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? In other words, why do you want to baptize the dead? if the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Now that's what I'm getting out of it. Why do we also stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest by that glorying in you, brethren, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what doth it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let's go ahead and have a party, for goodness sake, if we ain't going to be resurrected. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. He's telling, y'all get away from these folks, my goodness. Awake to soberness righteously and sin not, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to move you to shame. So it looks to me, now somebody correct me here if I'm wrong, it looks to me like he's doing that in jest. What y'all think? Now I spoke as sometimes somebody else. Come on in here now, help me out. What do y'all think it means? Now I could be wrong, but that's what I'm seeing.
I agree, Michael.
What do you think, Julie?
I just know, and I kind of, sort of, but I still don't get it. Just kind of like Paul just threw like a totally weird thing in there and threw everybody off. It still doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, okay. What do you think, Andrew? Yeah, Willie. Never mind, Andrew. Willie got his hand up.
Why then are they baptized for the dead? It's not like a question. It's kind of like saying it makes no sense to be baptized. Then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Christ be not raised, then the only thing you're getting baptized for is to stay dead. Why then are they baptized for the dead? You know, they're supposed to be being baptized unto life. You know, you know, you go down in the water, you're raised up. But if Christ be not raised, you're only getting baptized for the dead. So why then are they baptized for the dead? It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like it does. He's saying it doesn't make any sense. It contradicts everything, you know. And then he says at the end, these contradictors, evil communication corrupts, you know, good manners. That's what I see from it. Because Paul speaks of, you know, Christ's death, resurrection, then Paul speaks of his sufferings. And, you know, if Paul's like saying, well, what did I suffer for then? You know, if I'm not going to be suffer with him, that I might be raised with him, that I might be, you know, glorified with him. But that's just what I get from it.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Tim.
I think it might help, Julie, if you look at verse 29, and at least this is what I'm getting out of it, that the dead, that context is Jesus. If there's no resurrection and Jesus is the dead, what are we getting baptized into the name of Jesus for? And so he's saying there is a resurrection. That's why we're getting baptized into the name of Jesus, so we can partake in the resurrection. And that's what I get out of it.
Yeah, I go along with that. That's what I think. What do you think, George? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Well, the Mormons do something similar to this. They believe they can stand in and get baptized for dead ones and stuff like that. And I think it, my guess is that it's, you know, the same spirit that guides them to such things was around probably back then. And there was probably a sect of spiritually dead believers back then that didn't believe in resurrection, probably didn't believe the Bible. So they found something else to spiritualize their whatever they were standing for, and maybe he was mocking them, like you were saying, just saying, if they don't even believe in resurrection, then why are they going through these motions and believing for dead loved ones or something like that? I mean, it's, there is a group still doing that nowadays, the Mormons.
Yeah. Well, I believe it back then, it was the Sadducees. They didn't believe in resurrection. Unlike the Pharisees, they believed in it. But anyway. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I didn't totally catch what Tim said. I looked up Matthew Henry's commentary, and this is what he says. I think it's very similar to what Tim said. Let me see here. Let's go back here. Okay, it says, some understand the dead of our Savior himself. Why are persons baptized in the name of a dead Savior, a Savior who remains among the dead, if the dead rise not? But it is, I believe, an instance perfectly singular for, it gives us these Greek words or whatever, perfectly singular for this Greek word to mean no more than one dead person. It is a signification which the words have nowhere else. And then it gives Greek words which means the baptized, seem plainly to mean some particular persons, not Christians in general, which yet must be a signification of the dead be understood of our Savior. Some understand the passage of the martyrs. Why do they suffer martyrdom for their religion? Anyway, but I had to read over and over, because even Matthew Henry's is kind of like the way he says things.
Well, I'm fixing to say, you're going to have to interpolate what Matthew Henry says now, because I couldn't understand a word of it.
If you can read it yourself and read it over and over, I think you'll understand it a little bit better. But
right, yeah.
It's kind of, let me see if I can explain what he said. He's, in other words, he's saying, why are ones baptized for the dead? In other words, the dead is Jesus, okay? So in other words, what he's saying here, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, you know, there's no hope, right?
Yes, that's what he's saying. That's what Paul's saying.
Right. So what he's saying is, what else shall they do that are baptized for the dead? In other words, the dead is Jesus. Mm-hmm. If the dead are not raised at all, in other words, it's talking about Jesus. If Jesus wasn't raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? In other words, they're saying, if you know, he's they're saying Jesus was risen from the dead, and that's our hope, and that's why we are baptized, you know, believing that we were buried with him and raised in newness of life with him. So anyway, I think that's the, that to me, when I read over it and over it, that's what it means. You know, the dead is Jesus that it's talking about here. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Julie, because I often read that and I'm like, what the world does that mean to? Yeah, I think that's what that means. Does that make sense to you, Julie?
Yeah, this has been a good discussion. That's helped me a lot. Everybody's input's helped a lot. Thank y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad you brought it up, because, and then I went to Henry's, and yeah, it's like, you got to interpret his interpretation. It's like reading that old English in ASV or KJV, you know?
Well, there's things that Paul wrote, which you really have to just, he's so out there, he's, radical and stuff. And I was like, what is he saying? What? Why did he just throw that one in there? Yeah. But anyhow, everyone's inputs helped. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one that was kind of baffled by that verse.
Where'd y'all go? Oh, there you are. I lost everybody for a minute. I clicked the button. I shouldn't have done it. Okay. Well, I'm glad we got that one figured out. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to, got a question or would like to talk about something? I'll tell you one thing, George, that I was able to talk to the Plains people about for about an hour and a half, and that was end time stuff. They're fascinated about end time stuff. All right. What y'all want to talk about? It's a pretty day here.
I got a little testimony I'd like to share.
Okay.
It's not, I don't know if you can call it a testimony, but I found the woman's question interesting because I had no idea what she was going to ask me. And she was like, you know, I do Bible studies. We do a little ministry thing here at my house, and I, you know, go through the Bible with the kids here in the neighborhood. And she said, but, you know, when the kids usually get around 11 or 12, you know, I end up finding they end up leaving, you know, and some of them don't end up coming back. And she asked me, what do you think that we can do about that? You know, immediately, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was with me, you know. And I said, well, that's easy. And you know, how when God answers something, you know, and you hear the way he replies, I really believe that God would have been like, yeah, well, that's easy. Because it came out so pleasant. But I was, you know, I listen to myself sometimes when the Spirit's on me. And, you know, you listen to the way the Holy Spirit responds to people. And the Lord put in my heart to say it as simply as this. When the children go out, you praise God for when they leave, and you praise God for when they return. You praise God for the evil in their lives, and you praise God for the good in their lives. And I told her to learn to rejoice, you know, in the good and in the evil. I said, therefore, you'll be able to properly intercede for them without your own. I did all this work. I've been studying with these kids, you know, I've been trying to get them to the Lord, and everything's falling down. You'll pray in a way of me, you know, and all that I did, and you won't see the power of God needed, you know, to deliver, to heal, to restore, you know, to be a person who can intercede without looking at, you know, yourself, and without having prayers or faithless prayers or becoming embittered or becoming confused or double-minded. When you learn and understand that, you know, the kids were there to hear the word, you know, they're going to go out into the world. You need to praise God for that. You're going to come across evil things in the world. And, you know, all those whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. And you know those scriptures. But I was just, you know, the way the Lord answered it was like a lot more cleaner than I'm saying. I'm trying to recollect on the way the Spirit answered her. It was clean, the way he did it. And it was pleasant. The Holy Spirit was just present, you know, and you just open up so much more the opportunity to speak to her about what the salvation of Christ is. and to understand how salvation works and to understand that it's Him working salvation. And you're going to have to entrust yourself to God in allowing Him to do everything. You know, you have to trust yourself to God, you know, for the words that you will give them, for the prayers that are going to be prayed, you know, for the intercession that needs to be made, for the families, for their families that need to be prayed for. And I was speaking to my brother yesterday about being completely vulnerable, you know, to what it means to be in Christ, you know. To be completely vulnerable is to allow Christ to do the work in you. You know, we all have plans. We all plan our careers. We all decide what we're going to do with our lives, and we've never been put in a situation where someone else is going to decide who what's going to be done with our lives. We've been trained and brought up and told you're going to go to school, you're going to go to college, you're going to pursue a career. This is what you're going to do with your life. You need to focus on what you want to do with your life and to entrust your life to that salvation that was given to you. To now, it's almost like, it's hard for me to explain, you know. Maybe somebody can explain it better than I can. But imagine, you know, someone completely taking over your life, you know. And now that person's in charge. And you have to entrust, you have to trust them through the faith that you have, you know, by faith that they will better organize your life. They will better lead your life. They will make better decisions for your life, you know. That's complete vulnerability. That's like when you do the employee trust thing, they put the little thing around your eyes and you fall down backwards hoping they catch you, you know. Yeah, you know, that's just a little way of trying to say it, but walking in faith is becoming completely vulnerable to entrusting the salvation that God has given to you, Him to do it. Because we're so caught up with, you know, this is what I'm doing in my life, this is my career choice, you know, this is me, myself, me, my, this is what I'm going to do with my life, you know. For years we've been taught that. And I was just looking at that. And as I was talking to my brother, in that complete vulnerability, you know, even being suffering with Christ, you would think that's getting beat up and put in prison. No. It's becoming obedient. That's what suffering with Christ simply means. Now, persecutions and tribulations, you know, it's different, but what is the suffering, you know? Becoming obedient. It says he was obedient, you know, even unto death. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered, you know. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that because I thought it was neat, you know, the way the Holy Spirit just came out and said, well, that's easy. Because, you know, I know what she was going to ask me. All I know is that I was, you know, there, and God took over. And it's a much more pleasant experience than you dictating what you're going to do for God. It was awesome.
Thank you, Lord. Listen, I do want to relate something. I had a good friend of mine, a brother in Christ, that's struggling and is having trouble at work and people there. And I'd like to read this out of How Shall We Die. It's where David quotes Bill Britton, who's been dead for many years. And it's called My Beloved Enemy. And David says it's one of the best things that Britton ever wrote. Britton says, "You are not really my enemies at all. In reality, you are some of the best friends I have. You who have lied about me, and about this ministry who have tried to destroy people's faith and confidence in me, who have spread false and damaging rumors about my life and teachings. And through your efforts, there have been a work of grace wrought in this heart of mine that could never have happened without you. My friends have been many and loyal and faithful to stand with me in many hours of trial and need. They have been strength to my weakness, added joy to my heart in time of sorrow, and have girded up my faith amidst raging doubts. They have brought me before the throne of grace innumerable times in their seasons of prayer. I could not have continued long in this spiritual conflict without these wonderful friends. But believe me, I speak in sincerity and truth. There can be no perfection in the lives of God's elect without the chastening or chastising work of a real enemy. For when a bitter, vicious person begins to do all they can to destroy me and my work for God, then there is a work done that brings out all the wrong and evil attitudes and spirits that lie hidden and deeply rooted in my heart. When a friend extols all my good virtues and praises me from their heart of true friendship, I feel nothing but love for them. But when I hear of an enemy who has unjustly brought shame upon me, there rises up a spirit of defending myself and a spirit of righteous indignation to refute the enemy. It is then that the precious Holy Spirit does his office work and reveals to me the wrongness of my own spirit. I see in me then the things I did not know were there before. With repenting and sorrow of heart, I cry to God, and he delivers me from that which I have seen in my life. It was hidden, lying dormant, until you, my beloved enemy, brought it to light with your crucifying process. The prophets of old would never have had the glory of being stoned for the word of God, and no martyr's crowns could ever have been won by the early Christians without real enemies. You see, I cannot crucify myself, and friends will not do. So it takes you, my enemy, to bring me to the cross. And to the cross I must come, if ever I am to come to the glory of perfection. But I have much progress yet to make before coming to the image of my lovely Jesus. There is so much I must yet learn. And my enemy, you are teaching me. I have learned that the road to glory is by the way of the cross. Without you, I would not have found the way. Someone had to crucify my Jesus, not his friends, not his disciples, and he couldn't do it to himself. So Satan and the princes of this world stirred up hatred in the hearts of his enemies, and the work was done. Had they known that they were bringing him into his glory and bringing about the salvation of lost mankind, they would not have done it. And I'm sure that if you knew the good your efforts are working out in my life, you would not want to help me so much. But the work is being done. And I have learned to love you because of it. Love thy enemies, he said. And I wondered how I could do it. But you taught me. For because of you, I have grown in God, increased in his grace, and partaken of his divine nature. And also, because of you, many have been turned away and refused to hear the truths imparted unto this vessel. Their ears have been filled with lies, and no doubt have thought that no good thing could possibly come from such a one. But even here, I have seen the hand of God. For those who have had ears to hear the voice of the Spirit have not believed the lies you have told them, and they have opened their hearts to the message for these days, for these last days. Thus, God has weeded out the chaff from the wheat and is in the process of separating his own unto himself. All things are working together. So, my friends, for in reality, I have no enemies in flesh and blood. Your work has been sharp and cutting. Many times I was hurt and wounded deeply. But out of these trying experiences, I have come forth a better Christian and further on my way to being an overcomer. I doubt that you will receive any rewards for your lies and your efforts to destroy me, for woe unto them through whom these offenses come. But I want you to know that though your loss may be great in the day of judgment, I love you and appreciate the ministry you have had in perfecting this life of mine. Now, just a word to all who have read this. I trust that you have understood that this word has been applicable not to me only, but should apply to all of God's dear children as well. May the Spirit speak to your heart and open your eyes to this great truth, that without chastisement and the work of enemies, we can never come into full sonship. And when we see how much our persecutions and afflictions mean to us in maturing our spirits and bringing us into his image, then we can truly love our enemies. Matthew 5:43. And bless them that curse us. Luke 6:28. Praise God for his marvelous plan. And remember, all the enemy can destroy in the fires of persecution is wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians 3:12. And all they will mount and bring into his image is the gold, silver, and costly stone. 1 Corinthians 3:12. So let us be willing to burn that which will burn, so that these things which will not burn may stand forever. Praise God. And Lord, we thank you that you're doing that for each one of us. I know, Lord, we don't like it, but if we just understood your plan in this whole business of sending these unprofitable servants in front of us, Lord, then we'd be like Bill Britton. We'd understand that you're perfecting us and you're making us that mature man of God that you want, and that these people are there for one reason, and that's to mature us so that we can walk in a fruitful way just like Jesus did. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that for us. And Lord, place it in our hearts to pray for these people that do come against us. And to not only that, Lord, to love them like Jesus loved them. And Father, we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that even these people that do come against us, Lord, we ask for your mercy and your grace upon them, that you will grant repentance to them at some point down the road there, Lord, and bring them into the kingdom. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Boy, that is an awesome, awesome testimony, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Okay, anybody got any comments? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
It's kind of a confession comment on that. The other day, I was down at the dump. We call it a transfer station here, but and I was in line waiting to get into the get to unload the truck, and they're doing use the big front loader to push stuff around, so nobody was going anywhere. So I got out to untie my load, and a couple of kids behind me in a truck decided that I wasn't going anywhere, and they decided to go around me in line. And my goodness, my old man came out, and I come unglued back into place. And then, boy, I was convinced that that wasn't the way to handle that. It didn't make a bit of difference whether they went in front of me or not. But I repented of it, and I've been dealing with it for a couple of days now. But, 10 years ago, that would have never crossed my mind that that was the wrong thing to do. And I thank God, you know, it was quite a bit of flesh got burnt off that day. And I, you know, I pray that that won't happen again. But it's like the testimony you just read, you know, sometimes it's enemies we know and sometimes enemies we know, but they all are across. It's a confession slash verification of what he just said. So thank you, Lord, for
getting. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these trials to us. We all need them to get rid of that old flesh. Thank you, Jesus. That was a delayed reaction. I'm sitting here watching myself move, and I ain't moving. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody want to comment on how to handle these situations that people get us into? And by the word. Yeah, Julie. Go ahead.
I know one of the things that I've been learning is just not to open up my mouth, even though I'm feeling what I'm feeling inside, and to let it burn. And one of the things I've been dealing with was, you know, in some long trials, is the Lord's been showing me there's been frustration and impatience going on inside of me. So that's been something that's, when you get into a long trial, whatever that is, that those things started manifesting for me that I've had to repent of and give to the Lord. But whatever you do, don't speak what you're thinking. And that's really hard to keep your mouth quiet sometimes with people or with situations. Because we don't want to complain before God.
Amen. Yeah. Pray that the Lord would set a watch before your mouth and that you think about what you're going to say before you say it. Because these people are there for one reason, that's to take you to the cross. That's what they're there for. God put them there for a reason, that's to mature us. Lord, we thank you for giving us bold faith to believe that the trial's not going to last long once we understand that. Thank you, Lord. No, he said, vengeance is mine. But we can't just go, how shall we die vengeance? But we all know the scriptures, and we've been through them many times. So, we just, yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Well, two things. You're really breaking up, at least on my thing. And but the phrase that's been coming to my mind for the last few days since that little episode was just turn the other cheek. And that, you know, it's a figure of speech, but it applies to a whole bunch of that. But people that are doing us wrong, or we perceive it as being wrong.
Amen. Am I still breaking up? Yep. Okay. Everything's good and lovely. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? What y'all want to talk about? Anybody got any experiences with other than? What Julie was talking about and Ken about this going to the cross business. It's something we don't, none of us like to do, but it's necessary in order for us to bear the fruit of Christ in our life. Am I breaking up? Okay, good. Okay. And it's necessary in all of us. So, you know something? I want to tell you something. The people that don't want to kill the flesh, to allow God to kill the flesh, and this is the negative aspect of it, I've seen go into faction. And when you once you get into faction, it's hard. It's hard. I haven't seen very many come back. I know we're going to see some more come back, maybe after the bride. But if you've got unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And if you don't know what unforgiveness is, I recommend reading that Curse of Unforgiveness, because he explains what it is very, very easy. You know, even I understood anger, bitterness, something that rises up in your stomach, that's unforgiveness. You know, that thing that when people comes around you and, you know, that thing rises up in you, that's unforgiveness. Just tell God, you don't want it. I don't want it in my life. I'm asking you to take it out of there. And Lord, I thank you that you've already done it. Yeah, that's the way we have to do it. We have to do it by faith. It has to be by faith. I can't get rid of it. It has to be God that does it. And he'll do it. The word says he will. And if the word says he will, it's going to happen. Yeah, go ahead, George.
When we have our minds renewed by the word of God, we can mark the times that we stand on the word. And when we reckon ourselves dead unto our flesh and our old life, and we, you know, get a revelation, I guess we should probably ask God to give us more of a revelation of the matter of fact that we were crucified with Christ, and that we don't really have, I mean, we have free will, but we don't really have any rights to stand up for self. And the less we stand up for self, the more success we'll have of God quickening everything that he's doing in our life. If we're yoked with him in this race, and he helps us set aside all these things, then we're going to be running with him. He's going to be carrying us through, and we'll get more success. I think there's an incentive to die. The more we die to self and the more we give up our rights, the more success and more we build on that faith to faith and glory to glory. And when people try to brag on us because of whether it's humility or success or being a good servant or whatever it is, we can give glory to God. And like the songs say, you know, give God the glory and he'll give you the victory. You know, we need to move in victory, and we need to celebrate the finished work of Christ. You know, we're more than conquerors because he already did the conquering. We're celebrating his finished work. And the more we submit to that, then the enemy, you know, I think the enemy will have a harder time dealing with us. He definitely puts people in our path that spiritual sandpaper to rub off all that flesh so that we look more like Jesus. But conquering, you know, controlling our tongues through faith and the Spirit of God, it'll amaze ourselves and other people that we react in a godly way when they expect us to totally flesh out on them, because they're ready for the battle. They've already had the discussion in their head of what they're going to say. As soon as we give them that one line that they know is coming, they're ready to drop the hammer on us. But when we give them peace and patience and take a beating and turn that other cheek, then we disarm them. God gives grace to the humble. It is it's an adventure, and it's, you know, you almost look forward to those opportunities to just take one for Jesus, because he's the captain of our salvation. You know, you talk about famous soldiers and leaders in military who supposedly some great Roman soldier took his own garments off to bandage the wounds of his soldiers that were injured. Well, Jesus took stripes. His own flesh is what he, that balm of Gilead, you know, he did a lot for us. And I think every opportunity we get to stand up for faith, you know, the Bible even says that those who died believing get a better resurrection. You know, I'd rather go out believing or do something, trying to give God some faith to work with, than to let the world and the wisdom of the world and everything that you hear come at you rule the day. You know, there are facts in the world, but the word of God is true, and it stands up higher than the facts of the world or the facts that I'm going through something. And every thought that rises up against the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know, try to encourage myself to do the right thing in those instances. So I guess the biggest thing I remind myself of is the having faith in my baptism and having faith in the fact that I was crucified with Christ. It's a done deal, and that's a place of security, being in him.
Amen. Well said. Anybody else? You know, when you get angry, you're siding with evil. You're trying to overcome evil with evil. And that's not being, bearing fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and we got to, just like George was talking about, you got to put this stuff in your mind. You got to put these scriptures here and renew your mind with the Word of God daily. That's essential if you're going to make it in this walk that God's got us in. This Word is, remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive him. And these people had thrashed him, had pulled his beard out, had done all kinds of damage to him, nailed him to the cross, slashed his back. He had hamburger meat for back. And and he had the love in his heart that I want in mine, and hopefully everybody else does, to go ahead and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't. They didn't understand that they were crucifying the Son of God. And the people that come against you don't understand what they're doing either. And what you show to them in return will register with them in a negative or a positive way. When in the past, if you've come back and been justify yourself and get angry with them. How many, I look back on my past, how many arguments did I win? Well, none of them. You know, I never did win a war. Didn't help anything. All it did is make my flesh feel good. That's God, I ain't got to take that. When we act like Jesus does, we take it. Don't return evil with evil. So, Matthew 5:43 says, ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We've got to love our enemies. And we have to forgive those that come against us. Amen. Yeah, George, Andrew.
What about when you're being tempted? Okay, this is all something that's going on within your own mind. And it was just so, like, today it was feelings all day today, you know. And I was going, oh, feelings. You know, and sometimes when you're in this for a while and you go, this is all feelings. Where's the word? Where's the spirit? You know? And I was going, this has been a day today, boy. And I was going, no wonder I'm not secretly praying in tongues at work today, you know. And so I started praying in tongues a little, and then it sort of dissipated. But then it was coming back on me, you know, and I was going, oh, more feelings? Come on now. And it's when you feel like really down in the dumps or something, and it attacks you. And you just really, you know, sometimes you catch on right away. But other times, you know, you let it dwell for a while, and that's dangerous. And, you know, it really has to make you get your mind on the Lord. That's like just a different attack from when the people are attacking you. Like, you're supposed to resist that tempter. But when a person attacks you while you're resisting against these feelings or whatever, something can come out, man, at that point in time against that person, you know. So that's something you got to be really careful about, because, you know, you're doing an inward battle and someone else is coming out at you from the outside, and that's like double forces there against you. And you got to be real careful when that happens, because you're fighting the tempter, and at the same time, this vessel of dishonor is coming around to give you the screws into the stomach there at the same time, and you're going, oh, man, what kind of a day today? So I just, you know, you get it from both ends there, and it's a real, real bad thing. You really got to do something. You got to pray in tongues under your breath or something. I don't know. And well, that's a good thing to do at that point in time, is to pray in tongues under your breath, because this unbeliever will think you're a nut if you start doing that, or he might just go fly off the handle thinking you're mocking him because you're praying in tongues. So I just want to know, does that ever happen to anyone here? Oh, boy.
No, never had it happen to me. Nope, I ain't going to go there. Of course, we all have. Yeah. Well, that's when the word is really good to know, you know. We got to be casting down vain imaginations and fighting the devil here and over yonder in multiple places. You know, sometimes I just break out in praise. You know, praise you, Lord, and just start singing, you know, start singing in tongues or something. You know, thanking God for all these wonderful tribulations he's putting me through, you know. Praise God. Just like Willie was talking about earlier, it's best to go ahead and thank God for all these trials and tribulations. That way it brings us to memory that we're to reject that anger and that bitterness. Thank you, Lord, that you got this idiot. Right? No, you don't say that. Thank you, Lord, that you bringing these trials before me. You know, and that's what we do. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Okay, I've been sitting here thinking about how to explain this without giving a whole lot of detail. There have been two things with my family recently, two different people. It's really gave me an opportunity to keep my mouth shut or apologize or whatever, but and I'm sitting here thinking, if I didn't handle the first situation right, then the second situation would have been worse. And but anyway, what it was I did something at my son's wedding that he didn't want me to do. I didn't know. He had a sign up saying that he didn't, that they didn't want anybody to do this particular thing. And I didn't know. I didn't see the sign. And he came and he chewed me out in front of several people. And nobody said anything to me after the fact. And I didn't say anything. And I was just like, you know, the old Missy would have been like, you know, right away. Like, I mean, when he said this to me, I just said, okay. And I sat down, you know, I went to my seat and I sat down and it was, I was fighting back, getting upset in that, like tears, you know. Anyway, I know it was less than 5 minutes later that I had to get up and do the mother-son dance. And so when I got up with him, you know, I had time to, just enough time to think about the whole thing and, you know, apologize to him and you know, told him that I didn't know and I didn't see what he was talking about. And so, you know, we did the mother-son dance. We, Megan, his wife, asked me if there was a particular song that I wanted for that, and I didn't know, so I went online and I had looked up and I chose the song I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack. And twice in there it says something about I hope you give faith a chance, and there's some other words in there that I just, you know, thought were really good anyway. But so like I said, I apologized to him, and you know, he was okay and all, and he wasn't angry then. And so we had a good dance, and I even sang some of the words to him, and he had to smile, and I gave him a hug and a kiss, and he gave me a hug and a kiss back, and we told each other that we loved each other, and that was the first time in a long time that he told me that he loved me. Because ever since Merle and I got married and I moved out here, this huge wall went up. But anyway, so that turned out, you know, all good. And then came the whole thing with my mom writing this letter and putting it in their gift. And but actually before that, when I told my mom that wasn't good to put that in there, long story short, and I was really putting a positive spin on it, and she just cut me to the quick. She just got really offended, you know. And it was like the Lord said, shut up, don't say anything else, you know? And I did, and I didn't say anything else other than, you know, and I didn't get angry or anything. She got angry, and it's just, wow, it's just, you know, in those times, you do got to thank the Lord, praise and thank him. You know, at first, when you're right in the midst of it, you don't really like think to thank the Lord. But, you know, after the fact, you're like, thank you that you gave me that opportunity. And I, you know, I believe I passed both those tests really well. And it's like, wow, you know. It's the Lord that's done this work in me. I can't accept any credit for it, but it is. You just really do feel your flesh just burning up. It's easier when you're talking to someone on the phone than face to face. You know, when you're face to face with somebody. And you know, the funny thing is, the Lord had given me some verses not too long before I had this situation with my mom. And it's, I forget who the two kings are, but this one king, because he had some victories, the king of Judah wanted to face the king of Israel, you know, and he was full of pride, you know, and the king of Israel whooped his butt, you know. And so what I got out of it was the Lord was saying to me, don't pick a fight. Don't choose to get in someone's face, you know, die to yourself. And I know now that he gave me those verses to show that to me. I was seeing that's what he was telling me. Don't be prideful. Don't pick a fight. Be weak to the weak, you know, whatever. And like I said, I know why he gave me those verses now, you know, because I was going to have two major things, you know, coming at me that was very applicable to those verses, you know. So the Lord's awesome. He's awesome, you know. And just what comes to me is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, it's only Christ in me. Am I victorious in anything? I can't. It's only by His grace. Only by His grace. So, and you know, and I don't think if I would have handled the thing with my mom as well as I did. Well, actually, the thing with my son as well as I did, that all that with my mom and everything, it would have just the enemy was just trying to cause division, you know. And like you said, Michael, you know, you start defending yourself, you get angry, you get unforgiving, and so on and so forth. That just right away just causes division. You get a, you know, it does. Because, you know, somebody's in your face and telling you what they think. And if you're back at them, then what do you have? You both are angry. And the situation just gets worse. And neither one of you end up wanting to talk to each other. You say things you shouldn't say and stuff. And if one will just suck it up, you know, and, you know, I just, you know, I prayed in both the situations, you know, and against the enemy and so on and so forth. And just got to handle things by the Spirit. Our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So, yeah. It's just amazing. And I know the Lord is going to, he's about ready to it too. He's about ready to do something big. He's about to, I know the anointing of the man child isn't far away. He's going to. Do an awesome work in many people's lives.
Amen. George says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's true.
Amen. Now, Lord, we thank you for doing the work in Missy. We thank you, Lord, for placing peace in her heart, joy in her heart, rest in her heart. That you're in control, Lord, and you're doing a mighty work in her. Father, we thank you for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this brother too, Lord. I thank you that you're doing a mighty work in him too, Father. I thank you for the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that keeps him, his eyes focused on you, Lord. And I praise you for that, and I thank you for my brother. I thank you, Lord, for placing that love in his heart that Jesus has. And in fact, I just pray that for all of us, Lord, that your love would be the focus of our hearts too. That the people that do come against us, that we'd only see the good in them and not the bad. And that we could see and be a light to them. Because you don't know what they're going through in their life, you know. Might be going through some hard times. And they need a smile from a brother. Might need a smile from somebody. And you'd be that smile that they give. They might not pay attention to it right now, but they'll begin to see that you are different than everybody else. You're different than what you used to be. We're all different than what we used to be. And Father, make it so that we are just like Jesus, that we walk just like Jesus. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 3:18. We look at the mirror every morning, we see Jesus. We walk out of here thinking it and placing it in the forefront of our minds that we are like Jesus. And then we start walking like that. We start walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus. And the way we do that, Lord, is by staying in the Word and understanding what the Word says about each situation. And that we recognize it and say, oh, yeah. You know, and just encourage the brothers around us, encourage the people around us with a smile and the attitude that nothing bothers you because you're a child of God. And you know that God's got us in your hands, Lord. You've got us in your hands, Lord. And you orchestrate these little trials that we have for one reason, and that's to mature us. And Father, we just praise you for those bad times that we have. We praise you for the times that we misstep, might say something in retaliation back to them. But Father, we know that it's getting less and less each day. And finally, we get to the point of where we just grow better. You know, oh, God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. You know. And we think those good thoughts. Lord, bless them while they're sitting there cussing me out. Bless them, Father, because they don't know what to do. You know, if we get the attitude, Father, that your Holy Spirit has, and just have the heart of God at all times. I know, Lord, that it's hard to go from the flesh right into the holiness that you want us to walk in. But I know you do it in steps, Lord. And we might not do it today, but we're going to do it tomorrow. And we just keep on plugging away. We fall forward rather than fall backwards. And Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in us, that holiness work. That's the fruitful part that God's looking for in us. That's what you're looking for, God. That's the one that you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus in all of us. And when we bear that fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, then we're going to get more like Jesus every day. More like Jesus. When we do that, when we just, like Missy said, we don't retaliate. We just keep our mouth shut. Like Jesus said, we don't say anything. We just keep our mouth shut. And Father, help us to do that. Help us to overcome these trials and these tribulations. And I'm asking that for all of us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. That's a done deal. Everybody's there's 100-fold fruit right now. You're 100-fold. Praise God. You look, everybody's in here looking like Jesus. Walking like Jesus. All right. Anybody want to have, yeah, Joe, go ahead, bro.
Well, I don't want to, I was kind of thinking to myself there as I, you know, just like Missy said a lot of stuff, and I thought, well, I think I got a little discernment here all of a sudden. That seems like that's the flesh, or that's something of wanting to be heard. You know, I don't know exactly what that is. I mean, just this need to feel heard, you know, to feel accepted. And I'm not going to drag this out, you know, because I think that's what it was. I was like, well, you know, Joe, you need to keep it simple. You know, you're always wanting to kind of, I guess, be in the spotlight and be heard, you know, and like, you know, so people will just be like, oh, you're so great, you know, we love you, all that. You know, I guess there's whatever insecurity that is, but I must confess that, you know, I'm sure you were talking about me there, Michael. You know, I sent you that text earlier today, and that was right for me. I must say, I like how God works here. He has his ways of, like, you know, we're kind of, when we first started there, I'm thinking, nah, we're not really doing exactly what God wants to. And I think he's like, you know, he probably told you, okay, it's time to quit messing around. You know, hit the issue. Do what you need to do right here. And, you know, you begin to talk about that. I remember hearing that testimony from the evangelist. And now that just kind of broke my defenses down. I've been pretty resistant here. And, well, you know, I must confess, yeah, I have been resistant to let the flesh die. You know, I had a situation, I guess, I guess I received some more insight this week. You know, I grew up in a broken home pretty much. And a lot of what you said, Missy, has basically already happened in my life. You know, so I'm personally looking forward to God restoring, you know, the restoration. Restoring in the future my family, what the enemy has, you know, destroyed. There's so much division. But, you know, I look at my work situation and what he's using to, you know, it's almost like he's using the same thing. He's just bringing my past back in to where I am now and saying, okay, I'm going to use this to deal with you. You know, it seems, I mean, this has already happened to you, but there's a lot of similar, you know, situations. I'm working in like a broken, you know, broken work, you know, place. You know, I came from a broken home, but then I'm in a broken workplace where I see a lot of people just like me, you know, coming from broken homes. There's really no communication where I work. A lot of division, you know, a lot of faction. I mean, people are at odds. I mean, it's gotten just so crazy, you know, and I must confess I've been just like the rest of the world out there. You know, I mean, I should be the one to say, no, I'm not going to be like the rest of the world and, you know, speak out against the boss, go behind his back, you know, be just like the rest of them. You know, I can't stand the boss. I can't, you know, I mean, I should be above that, but, you know, I've been guilty of it. You know, I want to confess that. And I think that's where some of the resistance has come. I thought earlier, you know, I think it was today or yesterday. I've always been one to shy away from, I guess, you know, when conflict comes, you know, I'm not saying I don't like seek it out. You know, I don't want to be in conflict all the time. I mean, I used to be when I was really bitter and full of unforgiveness and all that. But I think when it comes now, there's like a fear, you know, because just a lot of abuse in the past. And so I think that's why it's easier for me just to give into the flesh and say, okay, yeah, you know, when it comes to, you know, gossip and talking behind people's backs and all that stuff, you know, I see it's like, okay, I want to just get along to go along, if that makes sense. You know, just go ahead and don't rock the boat, Joe, you know, and but just kind of give in and just kind of start talking about everybody else, you know, behind their backs and stuff like that. I hope that makes sense. But I noticed that's something that kind of hinders me from telling somebody straight up, because I've heard you say it, Michael, or, you know, that's good. I mean, great advice, you know, great wisdom. It's like when someone, you know, like concerning brethren, you know, just when someone comes to you and say, you know, did you hear about so-and-so? Just say, hey, hold up, no. You know, I should have the same attitude when it comes to the lost to, you know, in order to be a good witness. But I have been resistant, you know, to let the flesh die. And I mean, pray for me concerning that, of course. But I mean, last week I had a great example of that where I was just, I mean, I was quite thankful. I thought, wow, God's been doing quite a work in me lately. because I could have like flew right off the handle and started yelling at this fellow coworker. You know, there was a near miss at work, you know, where I almost could have gotten a major accident. I think everybody else around me, I guess was instrumental in that, you know, causing me to go up and confront him. You know, I went out and confronted him, but I sensed, and what, you know, made, what I felt so bad about was afterwards, I thought, well, you know, I shouldn't have did that. But I could sense he wasn't, you know, defiant. He wasn't, you know, justifying it at the end there, but he, you know, he said he was genuinely sorry and he wanted to come and reconcile me, but I was too proud. You know, I let my pride and just whatever get in the way. And I just said, leave me alone. You know, basically I was just telling him, you know, why did you do that? You know, what were you thinking? And then, you know, I wish I didn't, but yeah, I mean, I just said, you know, that was real stupid, you know, and I know he could sense the anger because I could feel their anger rising up in me. Like I was saying, you know, I could feel the flesh just flaring up. I mean, like it was just throwing straight in the fire and I was just, you know, I mean, but I, and like I said, I could have just started screaming and yelling at him, you know, but I just said, I was thankful that I didn't, you know, I mean, even though I didn't, I did open my mouth and I shouldn't have, but I'm thankful I didn't start screaming, you know, but, I'm trying to think what I want to say, but yeah, I have been resistant lately and I need to keep reading the word and just, retrain my mind. So, yeah.
And then, listen, there is a way that you can change the atmosphere at your work, and that's through prayer. God will change the atmosphere at your work by your prayers every morning before you go to work. Lord, I just thank you that you working in that plant, that you're bringing people into love for each other, that the division has got to go, and bind up division and faction and send it out of there. Yeah. And then, you know, you keep doing that every day, and I guarantee you, you're going to see a work in your workplace there that you never thought possible. Amen. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in places, in schools mostly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can do that. You can change it yourself. You are the one that can change the outlook of where you go to work in. Everybody.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead. Finish there. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say by prayer. That's how you do it. And, yeah. And faith.
Because, I mean, I think I've already started to see a little bit of a change. That same gentleman, that coworker who's been difficult for, like, since I can even remember. You know, I see the Lord. It's like, you know, I mean, just like he's putting those abusive type of people who, I mean, I can relate with on many measures, you know, from my past. And I'm saying, God, it's like, okay, here's your enemy, Joe. Are you, I thought about it one day months ago. I remember watching the Passion of the Christ, and that's like the Roman soldiers as they're leading Jesus along the way. You know, I think I remember, you know, the Lord taught me, or no, I mean, he kind of reminded me, you know, think of your enemies as those people. You know, you're holding your cross and you want to get off it. You know, you want to say, no, I mean, this is too much. But think of whoever they are, family, coworkers for me, you know, as those Roman soldiers. One of them's got a whip there and he's whipping you, getting you along, you know, and the other one's probably got a spear prodding you, you know. And I thought, yeah, that makes perfect sense, you know, because they're sending you to the death, you know, to your cross to die. You know, that, so yeah, like, I mean, kicking and screaming is how I've been lately, but no, like I was going to say, it was, this coworker, Dave, I thought there for a while, cause I mean, I was praying, Lord, just deal with him and, you know, maybe even help cause him to lose his job. Or, I mean, I would have the thoughts come to mind. I wasn't praying it, but I mean, I had the thoughts come to mind saying, yeah, maybe he just needs to lose his job. You know, you'll be better off. But, I think he's had a change of heart these past couple of days. So I just, and I'll go ahead and pray, you know, and ask you guys to agree with me, you know, that the Lord would kind of set up something. I'd like to reach out to him. I sense that he is a believer. I don't know. You know, I think we've had conversations briefly about that before, but like me, I mean, he's been through a lot. He struggled with alcoholism for many years and became homeless as a result of it. So, but yeah, I see a lot of the times, I mean, I don't have any hard feelings towards him anymore, you know, and that's just, yeah, praise God. I can look at that and I, But yeah,
one other thing you might try to do is quit looking at your past and start looking in the future, because you're a child of God now. That was the old Joe. Now you're a new man in Christ, and you don't look at the past. Always look forward.
Yeah. So
if you're gonna look at the past, look at the cross. That's true. What you do. Amen. Okay, Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, amen. I just want to pray, you know, concerning that.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Whatever happens, you know, the Lord wants to do with it, you know, let him do it. Father, I just thank you for this time here. I thank you for, causing Michael to be obedient there to talk about that. You know, it seemed like we first started out the meeting and is like, nah, this isn't the route I want to take it. But thank you for that obedience. And, Lord, thank you that you're still working in me. You know, forgive me for my resistance. Forgive me for my stubbornness and my pride that I want to continue to justify myself at times, but eventually I look back and think, you know, it's just not doing any good, but it's just doing more harm. And Lord, help me in this area. Help me to renew my mind with the word. Help me to get in the word, to have a hunger once again. I thank you, Lord, for that hunger. And I thank you once again, you'll give me that hunger to get in the word more, to not be distracted by the things of the world and to satisfy the flesh and whatever, but to get in the word and just to study it. But I ask that, you know, Lord, you would work out whatever you want to do with this coworker, Dave. I believe that, you know, that was you. You changed his heart. You know, you brought him to a level of repentance where I heard today, even, you know, it seemed like yesterday, he showed some genuine change. You know, he wasn't justifying his actions anymore. He told me, I think it was yesterday or the day before, you know, it just dawned on me, you know, I shouldn't always want my way, you know, and I thought, wow, that was you, God, working. So I thank you for that, Lord, and I praise you that you're working in his life like you are mine. And so I pray, Lord, that, if that's whatever you would come of that, you know, Lord, if it's, you know, if he's a believer, Lord, would you reveal this to me? And, you know, we could fellowship together, or maybe, you know, this is an opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, I don't know, but Lord, open the door for whatever it is you want to do. And, you know, ahead of time, I thank you. And I continue to thank you for the work you're doing in my life and the work you're doing in everyone else's life here. Just, you know, help us, Lord, most of all, to keep it in our minds to not be resistant, most of all. It's very easy. And Lord, but we realize it's not to our benefit, Lord. We must die. You know, we must be cooperative in the whole process. So Lord, help us, you know, any of us who are resistant, forgive us, you know, and cleanse us and free us of this. But Lord, help us to be cooperative most of all, and to just, you know, do what we need to do, and then let you do the rest. It's in Jesus' name that I have prayed these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in him. Lord, put it in his mind and his heart every morning to say, look at there, I'm Jesus. I'm going to be walking in Jesus' steps today. And to remind him all through the day that he is Jesus to a lot of people out there. Yeah. And that they're going to see the light, the change that comes into Joe. And Father, they're going to say, my Lord, if Jesus can do it for Joe, what can he do with me? And we thank you, Lord. Yeah. That Joe's going to be the light out in that plant. And he's going to see results immediately because of his prayers toward his fellow workers out there. And we thank you for the work that you're doing for those people out there and Joe, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okey-doke.
Amen. Amen.
Well, all right. We kind of run out a little time. Has anybody got anything before we close out tonight? I'd like to ask one question, just one. I would like to know who CC is. Hi, CC. Okay.
I think I got a word. I got me a new Bible, and it has been a trusty sword. I have pulled up some awesome, God has given me some great words this week, and pretty much every time I've opened it, it's been exactly what I kind of needed. And it's not for, and it's, and it hasn't been for me as much as it's been for other people. And Nehemiah 4 kind of tells me a lot about this group, as far as we are in this together and we're building this wall. You know, we're living stones that God's building his new Jerusalem with. And we're taking some shots. We're the more success we have coming together and building this, the more opposition is rising up and losing their minds. And, you know, some are holding spears and bows and weapons, and some are doing the work. But we, the Bible says we have a mind to work. And if I'm losing sleep, or I'm not losing a battle, because if I'm up, I'm carrying every burden that you guys are, that you guys are walking through right now. I got to say, Missy, that is a supernatural, awesome testimony that you gave tonight. And it's going to ring in my ears and everybody here how to deal with one of the hardest things you can. I can't even imagine people in my family, you know, just how you dealt with that is so awesome. Grace and you rest in all the good things that he's doing through you and Joe. You know, every new day it's from faith to faith and glory to glory, and we've got to pick it up and fight. We got to fight for one another and expect good reports and keep going through this stuff with one another, and whatever that means, I'm in it. Whatever he'll help me to do.
Amen. Me too. I'm in it till Jesus comes back. Amen. I think everybody is. But Lord, we just lift up everybody tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome time that we had. Kind of started out a little slow, but we finally got into doing what we should have done at the beginning with. But Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that for the testimonies we got, confessions we got, and also the words of encouragement that we got. And we thank you, Lord, that we're all praying for one another, that in our prayer time we pray for one another, we encourage, we lift each other up, and we know that some of us are going to be praying for Joe every morning before he goes to work. And he's going to see a change out there in his workplace, because we're going to be hooking our faith up with him. And also Missy and her family. Lord, we've already been praying for her and the family. And we know that she's going to see a lot of fruit there at some point in time. And also with Barbara and Wade and Jeanette, pray for them. And Joe and Nora, Julie, and just everybody here. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you do place their names and their problems before us, Lord, and we pray for them, and we know that you're answering them. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the work that you're doing. And those out there that listen to us, they don't necessarily know. We don't know who they are. We know there's a lot of them that do it. And we pray for them too, Lord, the greater UBM out there that are going through the same trials that we go through, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for encouraging them and keeping them on the straight and the narrow in the name of Jesus. We come against faction in that plant that Joe works at, and we command it to go from there. We command division to go. We command pride, rebellion to go from that plant in the name of Jesus. And we speak peace all over that plant. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray that your angels right now, we send forth your angels right now to start doing that work. And that Joe tomorrow is going to see a mighty change. And then he's going to be encouraged, Lord, that he's going to be, that his prayers are being answered. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And the same thing for all the rest of us, Lord. When we bring these trials up and we pray against them, And there is peace and joy and rest in our hearts, Lord, because we know that you're the one that's in charge. We thank you for it, Lord. Be with us, protect us, give us a good night's sleep tonight, and come back with us again on Thursday night in a mighty way, Lord. And Lord, place it in each of our hearts to not only pray for more of the Spirit of God in our lives, but to receive more Spirit of the God in our lives, Lord. That's what you've told us to do, is to receive more of the Spirit. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Good night, folks. Now, let's see here if I can.